It may be that the gulfs will wash us down. It may be we shall touch the Happy Isles and see the great Achilles whom we knew. Though much is taken, much abides, and though we are not now that strength which in old days moved earth and heaven, that which we are, we are. One equal temper of heroic hearts, made weak by time and fate, but strong in will to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
We're not just coming down the road, but we are coming across the airways. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL, or the spirit of the EDL. That's what we tend to say these days. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to thank Dave. He saved my life a bit tonight. Unbeknown to me, I've had one of those days where I thought I was a day ahead of myself. It was very confusing. Dave, mate, give me a call, and then I realised I could work it out what day it was. Then I looked on the screen, because Dave said, no, we've got a show to do. So just giving you an heads up, what goes on in the background. It's a bit like the tune that we play now and again, Land of Confusion, because it really felt like that. It was just me messing Dave's up. But my wingman, dear Dave, what's going on, has done the job. Thank you, Dave. God bless you, brother, for that. But let me continue. The theme of the show tonight is the English Defence League radio show, The Phantom Rape Gang. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Benjamin Mitchell, and my wingman is Dangerous Dave Milner. Tonight we will be discussing the latest documentary from journalist, author and human rights pioneer Mr. Tommy Robinson. We will air most of the audio portion of the Phantom Rape Gang this evening, and the conclusion the conclusion next Sunday, the 5th of February. These will be EDL radio shows you never thought you would hear, but they are as real as our determination. No surrender ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. And of course, that was by the late great Edmund Burke, a politician of the day in the 1770s. Those who make peaceful revolution revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And of course, that was said by the late great President John F. Kennedy back in the 60s. So, without further ado, actually, before I do pass it over, also I've got a little bit there at the, just underneath about the President John F. Kennedy. Find a video version of the Phantom Rape Gang at Tommy Robinson's official Rumble page. That is https://rumble.com user Tommy Robinson official. Okay, so if you want to get that, please go to his Rumble page. So without further ado, let me bring on my friend, my colleague from across the pond in the great Vermont there. Good evening, and thank you, Dave, for saving my life this evening. Back to you, and God bless you, and to all that's listening in tonight. Back to you, Dave.
Right, good evening, Jeff, and good evening to everyone. Let me just state here that Jeff isn't the only one that has lost count of a day. I can recall a year or two or something back, we had a show coming up, and I was so excited about doing it that I called Jeff up and I said, "Hey man, what, you know, where are you? You're not on Skype. You know, it's about time to do the show, man. I'm ready to rock and roll." And Jeff goes, "Dave, it's Saturday, mate." And I looked down at my calendar on my computer, and yeah, it was the day before. So Jeff isn't the only one that does that sort of thing. Now, to give one last explanation here, one last little bit of getting everybody up to speed that might be new or whatever, since this is our last show for January of 2023, why is Jeff Dangerman Mitchell, and why am I Dangerous Dave Milner? Well, we found out, I think this was last year, we found out that one of the Facebook moral minders called the English Defense League radio show in general, and Jeff and myself in particular, quote-unquote, dangerous, because of what they deemed as hate speech and, quote-unquote, misinformation. Being the propagandists that they are, this is hilarious. But Jeff and I decided, hey, if we're dangerous to the wrong people, then we're doing our jobs. Now, guys, we podcast here live on Sundays at 8:30 p.m. in the U.K. And that's 3:30 p.m. Eastern in the United States. And our program is not only at blogtalkradio.com, but it's reflected at the TECN.TV radio page. And links to all of that will be found on our show page at blogtalkradio.com. All right. Now, if you want to get into the chat room for our show, or for Jeff's show, excuse me, go to blogtalkradio.com and type in English Defense League Radio Show or EDL Radio at the top right center search box. Follow the links, and if you are registered with Blog Talk Radio, you too can get into the chat and have a talk with Jeff. So, Jeff, do we have anybody in the chat currently, sir?
Yes, we certainly do, and it's a good welcome back to Duck Northwest Media. He's giving us a thumb up, saying Jeff Mitchell, and he's giving you a thumbs up, saying Dave Milner, and Bigfoot's also saying, Bigfoot saying, "Hi, Duck, Jeff, and Agador." And Duck Northwest is giving his thumbs up to Bigfoot. So there you go. It's good to see you back in the chat, Duck. We missed you last couple of weeks. It's good to see you back with us. And thank you for joining us this evening. Same with the Bigfoot. It's because it's always great to see you, Bigfoot. It's appreciated to have you in the chat, making whatever comments you'd like to make as the show goes along. So we've got an interesting show tonight. I think you guys will like it, especially some people outside that possibly won't get a chance to view or listen to what we have to say on these shows. Without further ado, let me pass it back to you, Dave, just to let you know that we've got two of our regulars in the chat this evening. So that's great, isn't it, Dave?
It certainly is, Jeff. Bigfootsplace.blogspot.com is where you can find Biggie's blog. And I want to welcome you, Biggie, and also welcome Duck Northwest Media. Appreciate you both. And with that, guys, we're going to get into, as Jeff read out in the script, the documentary that Tommy Robinson has done. Now, this one, you may be thinking, oh, well, here goes Tommy Robinson doing another one of his documentaries in the Rape of Britain series. We've heard this all before. You haven't heard this one before. This is going to be, I almost, Jeff, went and found the old Monty Python opening, and now for something completely different, because this is completely different. This is Tommy Robinson doing what Tommy Robinson does, which is searching for and finding the truth. And this documentary was actually 2 years in the making, which you will hear once we get this whole thing started. And guys, it's not going to be what you're used to hearing. But Jeff and I will be along to comment in between segments. These are in about 15 minute or so segments, like the first part is about 15 minutes long. And guys, you're going to find this very unusual, very eye-opening, and it's going to give a lot of room for thought and comment, and we're going to do what we can both today and next Sunday to kind of guide everybody through this, because for some people this might be confusing, but for Tommy Robinson, it's just the truth. Jeff, you got anything more before I start this up?
No, I'm quite happy for you to roll what we've got, Dave, for our listeners out there. So, as Dave said, we will sort of, when the segment ends, I will comment and Dave will comment. We'll both have our say on what we've heard for you, the great listeners out there. So there you go. With that, Dave, let me pass it back to you so we can roll the first part. Back to you, mate.
All right, beautiful man. And, of course, if you guys in the chat have any comments to make as well, please make them and Jeff will pass them along. That's one of the advantages of being in the chat. But here we go. This is the beginning, the first part. There are six parts. The first part of the Phantom Rape Gang.
In May 2020, a story exploded onto the internet about a young girl claiming to have been trafficked, pimped and raped in the town of Barrow. She was arrested and remanded in prison. Straight away, cries went out across the country of a state cover-up and a police cover-up. I travelled to Barrow to investigate to find out what had gone on in this town. I was arrested by police and I was prevented from giving any publication, as I was given conditions that I wasn't even allowed to talk about child exploitation within the town of Barrow or even enter the area of Cumbria. The trial has now concluded and it's been found that Ellie Williams was lying. Leftist organisations, politicians alike, many journalists made the claims I travelled there to incite racial hatred against the Muslim community. The truth can now be told, which is the total opposite. I was the only journalist motivated to go there to find the truth. I confronted campaigners and I sat down and interviewed the alleged perpetrators. Finally, now, we can tell you the story of what we found.
So there's a Snapchat under your name.
Yeah.
But they found no forensics linking that to your phone.
Yeah.
What evidence did they have on these?
Literally nothing. This is what I don't get.
First time in prison. What was it like?
Horrible. I was surrounded by dirty old paedophiles and old men. It was horrible. I turned to drugs, drink, tried ending my own life. My life's been destroyed.
They exploit people's fears. They exploit their worst natures and they fill the void of misinformation and conjecture.
First of all, I'm Tommy Robinson.
Yeah.
You're a Muslim business owner.
Yes, I am.
You've agreed to meet with me.
Yes.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Fucking donkey. Spit at me again. Spit at me again. Spit at me again.
You're on, mate. You're on, mate.
No.
What
have
you been here for?
Do you think I can forget that? No, I can't. I can't.
The post put on Facebook was by a girl called Ellie Williams with horrific injuries, claiming to have been raped by local Muslim gangs. Muslim grooming gangs in the UK have been covered up in towns and cities across our nation. Anger has been building. And when Ellie's injuries were shown, it brought it home to people. It spread like wildfire. The Justice for Ellie campaign was launched. Major figures began promoting the Justice for Ellie campaign. One of those was Maggie Oliver. Maggie Oliver was a police detective who resigned in disgust at the way the police had handled previous grooming scandals. Another person who was happy to promote it without any investigation was Countdown's Rachel Riley. Like many London elitists, Rachel Riley doesn't like Tommy Robinson. She's been successful in having me demonetized. Even though I speak out for and attempt to represent the same people her friend Maggie Oliver claimed to.
Del, could you please stop advertising on Rebel Media? You're inadvertently funding fake news hate mongering.
The easiest thing I could have done is travelled up to Barrow. This suited and fitted my narrative perfect. Muslim men using local businesses to rape young children. That would have been the easiest thing to do. In fact, that's the thing many on the left claim I did do. But that is not what I did at all. I travelled to investigate, to bring you, the British public, the truth. And the local ruling politician at the time denounced my arrival in the town, saying that it's only going to stoke more tensions and make things worse in Barrow.
I want to concentrate the remainder of my time on different aspects of this debate, and that's around those with vested interests stirring up tensions that suit their own ends. In Barrow, we've seen the sharp end of these vested interests. They take the vacuum of information that forms when investigations start or when court processes begin, and they exploit people's fears. They exploit their worst natures and they fill the void of misinformation and conjecture that serve no one but themselves.
And every single newspaper covering the story denounced our arrivals, including Ellie's family. Except we didn't turn up with thousands of men after reading one Facebook post. We turned up with a camera, a microphone, as a journalist to investigate. Regardless, just to find the truth, regardless if it went against our own bias. And very quickly, we found that Ellie Williams was not a reliable witness. We found that there were multiple other men who had been accused of rape separate to the new allegations of the Muslim grooming gangs. We sat down with one of those men to find out what had happened in his life. That man was Jordan Trengrove.
When did you know Ellie? Well, when was it alleged to have occurred?
I can't remember the exact dates, but it was in from April, mid-April to mid-May.
Mid-April to mid-May?
Yeah.
Last year?
Yeah.
12 months ago. So basically a year ago.
Yeah.
And what was the first you heard of it?
I didn't know anything about it till the police came through my door in April and arrested me, and I was confused, like, what's going on?
And what did they question you on? What was the accusation?
ABH and a rape.
That you'd beat her up and raped her? Where was this met? Where did she say this happened?
At my friend's house.
Okay, your friend's house. Had you been at that house?
I was at my friend's house that night, but the police took me home on that night, and the police knew who I was with.
So okay.
They said there was no evidence of that because the camera wasn't on in the van, but I could clearly see the camera was on in the back of the van.
And what's happened next? You've been arrested?
Yeah.
Put out on bail?
Yeah, I was out on bail with conditions not to get in contact, not to go on Bar Island.
Yep.
And I can't remember the other bail conditions. I think it was just about only to go to the job centre if I needed to.
Okay, and then what's the next? What's happened next? If you're out on bail, you're waiting for your court date.
I got arrested again for the same, but this time my window got smashed and I rang the police because my window got smashed because of all the accusations. And next thing, the police turn up about my window, but arrest me on another rape and ABH again.
On Ellie again?
Yeah.
From before this, or...?
After the first one.
So she said after you're on bail for rape, she said you've raped her again?
Mm-hmm.
Where was this meant to have happened?
Her house, which I had no idea where it was till I got them statements.
Had you been to her house?
Nope.
You hadn't been near her? Nope. How did she say, what, you just come in, you broke in?
In one of them, I apparently broke in. And the other one, apparently, I just walked into her house.
So two separate times, after you've first been bailed, she said you've gone back and raped her again. Mm-hmm. And again.
Yep.
And that's when they remanded you?
They remanded me on the third one.
On the third accusation?
Yeah.
What evidence did they have on these?
Literally nothing. This is what I don't get. Because the forensic DNA came back, there was nothing found on either me or her. Nothing found on my phone, it was all found on hers.
When you say it was all found on hers, what
like
do you mean?
The Snapchat and that.
So there were messages supposed to be from you.
Yeah.
Saying what?
I can't remember what they said, but they were disgusting.
Threats of rape and things like violence.
Mm-hmm.
So there was Snapchat under your name.
Yeah.
But they found no forensics linking that to your phone.
Yeah.
And then they've remanded you. And how long was you on remand for?
From the 21st of May to the 1st of August.
3 months?
Yeah, 3.5.
So we've went up until these points of all these accusations. What was life like for you, generally? Just
I was living a good life, like just playing. I've had anxiety, so I wouldn't go out either way, like without someone. But I just, my life was good, like, and then these accusations came on, and it's just gone downhill from there.
What's happened since these accusations? Since the first accusations, what's happened to you?
I've had threats, I've turned to drugs, drink, tried ending my own life.
You have?
Yeah.
When did you try and end your own life?
I was messaging my girlfriend's friend saying I'm going now, and I just went and...
This is when you was on bail?
No, after I got out of prison. Like,
when you got out of jail?
It was still just horrible. Like the other day there was a status put up on Facebook, and it was aimed at my missus. Because we put my side of the story out on Facebook. And
you put your side of the story out on Facebook?
Yeah, but we had to delete it because of the threats we've got. And there was threats, people threatening to petrol bomb the house, smash the windows, sex traffic my girlfriend's kids.
So let's just understand. So you're in jail, you're on remand for these offences. How come you got let out?
Because there was no forensic evidence. I was granted Crown bail. And then 2 weeks later, I got a phone call from my solicitor saying, can you attend court? I said, I've got no money to be able to attend. So they did it with me excluded.
Yeah.
And then I got a phone call saying, everything's been acquitted and you've got a not guilty.
Do you feel like you've got a not guilty?
Yeah, because I know I haven't done anything.
But do you feel like you've been properly cleared? Your name?
I know.
Or do you still feel like, I know you know you're innocent, but what I'm saying is, do you feel like everyone else now knows you're innocent?
No, because everyone's still saying, like, he did do it, and the only way he got cleared is because Ellie didn't turn up to court. She had no reason to turn up to court. They didn't even make it to trial. The trial was listed in November.
When I say about how you lost, how was prison for you? Have you been in prison before?
No, it was my first time.
First time in prison? What was it like?
Horrible.
Was in the sex offenders location?
Yep. Didn't want to be, but it's the way it had to be, and I was surrounded by dirty old paedophiles and old men. It was horrible.
Spent 3 months, then you was released. And what I'm struggling, what do you think then? What did you think when you've read the statement by Ellie, the most recent one? What were your thoughts when you saw that?
I don't know what to believe, because obviously she's lied about me and other people. Like, I honestly don't know what to believe. Like, I'm not saying she deserves what's happened to her if it is true, but if she is lying about it, then she deserves to go to prison and have a very long time in prison.
you randomly, you've never been in trouble with the law before, you then get accused of rape.
Yeah.
How did you feel at that moment?
Angry and, like, why has it happened to me, like...
Do you have family in Barrow?
Yeah.
What's it been like for your family?
Horrible. I had rapist spray painted on my mum's house. Her window's smashed.
Your window was smashed in your house?
Yeah.
Over.
And I thought it was my ex-partner that had done it and rang the police. And when the police came, that's when they first arrested him.
Arrested
Jordan? Went straight to Jordan. They didn't take him in the house. They were just on the front. And Jordan was like, someone's just put my mum's window through and blah, blah, blah. And they said, you're under arrest for rape. And all the rest of it. So I mean, and yeah, as a parent, it's not nice.
You must have felt helpless.
Yeah.
How did he cope?
I don't know. How he coped.
Did you visit him in jail?
I visited him at the police station. The night before they remanded him. And it was only because the sergeant knew me from being young. And she let me give him a hug. And I can remember being with Nicole. Me and Nicole went to see him, took him some clothes. And it weren't just like tears, it was snot, everything from his nose. And he was like, Mum, I'm not going to lie to you. If they remand me tomorrow as a rapist, you're not going to see me again. Because I will come out in a box. And that's when I did cuddle him, he was just shaking. Do you know what I mean? All I can remember is not wanting to let go. Do you know what I mean? Is that the last time I'm going to smell him? Is that the last time I'm ever going to feel him? Is it the last time I'm going to see him? Do you know what I mean? You can't just... It's wrong.
Well, it was horrible for my nana. My nana couldn't even come see me in prison because that's how horrible it was for her. It was horrible. My mum had a miscarriage because of it all. Like, all the stress, it's not nice. It had a bad effect on my whole family.
What about now? So you said you've come out of jail and the problem hasn't gone. You've tried to commit suicide since coming out of custody.
Yeah.
Have you sought help?
Yeah, I'm on antidepressants and I'm getting counselling.
Would you want anything like that before?
No. Like, I'm constantly going out the house, even when I'm with my girlfriend, I'm looking over my shoulder.
You are? Scared?
Yeah. Like, I've got to go to Barrow on Monday to see my mum for my birthday and I'm honestly scared to go.
So your life's been turned upside down? Your life's been...
My life's been destroyed. And I tell my missus all the time, if I didn't meet her, there's a good chance I'd be dead. Because honestly, my mental state before I met was just drinking drugs all the time.
Before you met your missus now?
Yeah.
I was hoping to find the family and ask them.
Yeah.
Who's Jordan? Because they haven't mentioned it, which I think is dishonest. You're building momentum you're building massive momentum. There's a lot of angry people out there. But you haven't included, you lot know that there's 7 false allegations against innocent people who have been, and now she's facing charges. But you know that she's on, my thinking is that she'd probably be in tag because they can't allow her to not be on tag after 7 o'clock because she made 7 accusations saying people raped her at night, probably. So they need to have her on back tag. I don't know.
And that's the end of part 1. Welcome back to the English Men's League Radio Show. Your host, Jeff Dangerman Mitchell. Jeff, your views, sir.
Well, it's like, you know, I'm feeling for the bloke because, you know, there was always a double edge of a sword. And I think this is like the double edge of a sword of actually turning it around. And the people that have been accused and spending time in prison over the allegations and how it's messed their lives up. You know, this is what we tend to do. We want to show, I mean, and this is what Tommy do. He's showing that, you know, that this young lady who'd been accusing people was found guilty of lying, and that was being proved. And I think this is just clarifying what Tommy is doing. It's totally different to what he would normally do. that I take my hat off and I salute him for doing this, because, you know, you just can't go through life just with a tunnel vision, just focused on one, because there's other implications, other things that's addressed within this documentary, what we're hearing today, ladies and gentlemen. It's the first time I've heard it, so I'm the same as you, probably. Just unwinding to it. But my first observation is that that this is totally different that Tommy's done. But I do like what he's done, because it shows that there are innocent people that do get charged and who are innocent of the charges, and their lives, you know, he's talked about trying to commit suicide. So you know how desperate people are, you know, that the home's been smashed, this, that and the other. And there's nothing worse than being classed as a rapist, and, you know, there are people out, even now it's been proved that, you know, that the case was false against you. It's hard to prove, because there's people out there, but no matter what proof said, they will always think that you are a rapist. So he's got to live through this one way or the other. It's going to be difficult times for him. I hope he's strong enough to come through it, because sadly a lot of people give in, and, you know, he could end up just being a statistic. But anyway, that's just my personal observation. It was the first time I've heard it. I do like to listen to things a couple of times. So that's my first observation, what I've heard so far. With that, Dave, let me pass it back to you, bro.
Thanks, Jeff. Yes. The implications were easy. The conclusions that people jumped to were easy to jump to, because so many times over the almost 11-year existence just of this program, we've reported on these Muslim child sex trafficking gangs. I hate using that word, grooming. We've reported on so many of them, and this has always been true. However, this is the exception that proves the rule. This young woman, either because, and I believe, frankly, that it's because she wants to redirect blame, and you guys will understand a little bit more of that as the documentary goes on, or for whatever other reason, accused this young man of a heinous crime, a crime that, frankly, I think deserves, is a capital offense. I think it deserves the death penalty. Rape does. That's just my view. But to be wrongly accused of rape, as Jeff says, as Jeff points out, can tar a man's life until the end of his life. He will go to his grave now with some people believing he's a rapist. And as Jeff says, you know what, I pray to God that even though this guy's a Muslim and I'm a Christian, or trying to be a Christian, I pray to God that he actually can get through this and find the peace, especially since he's got a girlfriend and she's helping him through it, which is a good thing. He's got his family and all of that. But we see here the damage that can be done when a false accusation of rape happens. And I still have other questions surrounding all of this, but none of them fall on this young man. So, Jeff, is there anything out of chat, or do you have any further comments before we continue with the documentary,
just looking,
brother?
At the chat. No, the guy's just listening in at the moment, Dave, but no, as I say, my observation is what I said previous, that we are looking at things in a different light, because, you know, to be accused of something as rape, as you said, Dave, is it's going to hang over this man. Whether it doesn't matter what faith he is, and we do know, because we've come across so many of these cases of groomers and this, that and the other. But, you know, there's cases out there, and this is proving a point at the moment, and this is how I think I see it unfolding at this moment, that there are people out there that's wrongly accused and vilified for it, and they've got to live their lives with that hanging over them. No matter whether, you know, the case is totally dropped and they should be left without anything. But no, that's not quite the case in the real world, as we all know. As you said, Dave, I just hope eventually, hopefully, he can find peace. I think he might need to totally move away completely. I know it's difficult to upend your roots, but sometimes it might be the only way, sadly, because of what's going on around him. But that's just my observations at the moment. So it needs time to sink in, so I'm going to listen to this episode on another day when I've got, you know, and I'm going to listen to it very closely, because sometimes you need to listen to things a bit closely, don't you, a couple of times, though, I think you would agree, and then you get a big, better picture as it's going along. But I do believe this moment, so I'm feeling that there's a lot more to come in this, and I want to hear more, because I think it's reflecting what I said previously, Dave. With that, let me pass it back to you, Dave.
Thank you, Jeff. Yes, and it is always good to take time and cogitate something rather than just give a knee-jerk reaction. And certainly, guys, you're going to find this episode archived at blogtalkradio.com and also over at TECN.TV's radio page. And you can listen to it again and definitely pass this along, too, because this is an important episode.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to go ahead and start up this next one. Part two is only 14 minutes long, though, so let's get back into it, guys. This is Tommy Robinson's documentary, The Phantom Rape Gang, and you're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
The public anger that's out there has no idea of any of this. Would all these people be the same? Would the people be feeling the same if they knew the seven other, if they knew what's happened to your life and seven other men? No, I don't really know what to do with this. Yeah. It's such a fucking... I think we've got enough and we'll have to see what we can legally use. What it gives me the ability to do, if I'm saying this, is to say, well, I've met with men that have been falsely accused and they've been cleared in court, and each time the accusation was made, Ellie had massive physical bruising. No one actually gives a fuck about what's happened there, really, in the movement side of Me Too and all this fucking bollocks. The man's life's destroyed. The woman makes the accusation. Your life's destroyed. There's no fucking evidence. You can't... What now? Like, fucking hell, mate. Where's all the support for him? You've got... She's getting contacted now by every single time... Everyone to support. So we were coming up here to support.
Yep.
But where's the support for fucking the seven men? I hope you're looking 6 months on this and you aren't cleared.
Yeah.
That everyone knows. And I hope you get the sympathy that...
I hope so, myself.
That's currently being aimed at Ellie. Jesus, man. You see, I wonder if Maggie Oliver and all that realise that.
I've messaged Maggie Oliver. Made her aware that she lied about me. And
let me ask this.
Oh, press
forward.
That's what I sent Maggie Oliver.
Listen,
the big
Maggie Oliver, yeah?
Yeah.
So Maggie, just understand, you've seen Maggie Oliver's involvement in this.
Yeah.
She's come out clarifying 100% that this has happened to Ellie.
Yeah.
And that the text messages, what did you think when she said, here's a text message 100% sent to her by a rapist? Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen everything.
What did you think when you saw that text, when Maggie Oliver's saying this is 100% the text message?
And that there was a fake Snapchat found of me on her phone, so what's stopping her from doing it again?
So on her phone, for your case, she'd made a Snapchat profile of you,
yep.
But it was actually found on her phone, and there was messages from you making threats and violence,
yep.
And implicating you in a rape,
yeah.
But the Snapchat account was on her phone, not on yours.
Yeah.
Let me read what you said to Maggie Oliver then, because Maggie Oliver is actually, she has replied then. I've seen you have posted Ellie's story. Ellie has not been remanded relaying the sex gang things. She has been remanded for breaking her court bail conditions against me and several other people How do you think we feel? I was sent to prison because of her disgusting lies. Had rapists sprayed in my house windows. Smash labeled to this big bad rapist. But never have I once slept with her or done anything like that. It's disgusting. So what about the justice for us? Do we just let it blow away? Because it ain't... She ruined my life. I was sat in a cell for 4.5 months. Surrender, but real dirty paedophiles. That messes with your head. And I have every last bit of paperwork stating my innocence. And all the DNA took from me and her. On the allegations on the same night. And her clothing and door handle, bed sheets, etc. On the night of these allegations, there was no DNA found. And also, she made out I was Snapchatting her. Police took my phone and my Xbox and her phone and electric devices. And guess what? There was a Snapchat account sat on her phone, not mine. Also, Elliot accused me of rape 3 times, ABH. And guess what? It turned out all to be false allegations. People say I got left her not turning up to court trial. That's the first I heard because it never made it to trial. I got granted bail by Crown Court. And then 2 weeks later, Judge and CPS both said I was not guilty and acquitted me of all charges. She has ruined my life and my family's. Not to forget the other lad she has done this to. Either I've had enough now. And now I ain't holding back my side of the story because I'm sick of watching over my shoulder 24/7 thinking what's going to happen next. To see where I'm coming from, it ain't fair. I ain't saying it's if what happened to Ellie comes out to be true, she deserved it because it's so wrong and no one should have to go through that. Like I say, she destroyed my life and mud sticks. So you're still very open-minded about if it's what happened to her, how bad. I don't know details of this case, nor what happened to you. All I know is that there are several young girls saying the same as Ellie about a grooming gang in Barrow and that there has not been a proper investigation. And also professionals I've spoken to are corroborating that too, hence why I've shared the post. And I see often throughout the country, which is why I try to share when I can. But it sounds like Jordan has had a tough, very tough time too. And I feel sad that and my posts are no reflection on his case, etc. So please, can you let me know? I really hope you recover. When was this?
22nd
of May.
Yeah.
Well, this was 3-4 days ago, so she hasn't mentioned this. She's carried on full leather, hasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
She's carried on full leather after hearing that. And not just carried on full leather, but promoting herself as well. That's not right, I don't think.
I can't think of anything else.
No, neither can I. I'm just trying to think of what to do now with it.
Just to finish.
Yeah. No, not to finish. No, I even mean the whole fucking thing, because...
Well, we've got to...
Investigate.
PC everyone else and
see what they're all saying.
Just facts, mate, that's it. Yeah.
Facts. But these fucking facts are mental, mate.
Yeah.
She's fucked him.
Well.
Yeah, all right. Well, mate, I appreciate you giving us your time. You need all this, don't you?
Yeah.
She wouldn't allow the fucking vaginal examination. A general examination was performed and the complainant was reluctant for the general examination and would permit vulval low vaginal swabs only. She was reluctant to engage, appearing hesitant in her speech and manner. She didn't want to engage in it. She had no eye contact with myself during her. Her voice was quiet in the tone. Fucking hell, bro. Right, take that out. What do you think? Yeah. I don't really, because the fact of the matter is, there shouldn't be a fucking massive protest in fucking Barrow.
Jordan was a young man whose life was destroyed. He was driven to attempt suicide. Imagine being this young, innocent man who spent months in jail on remand, awaiting trial for a rape charge. He was accused of raping Ellie Williams multiple times and violently beating her. He is now on a fight for justice against the police because there was evidence at the time that it was impossible for him to have done these rapes because at one of the times of the allegations, he was actually in the back of a police wagon. And of course, the Mail had to attempt to smear me within this story. But the first thing we published was our first trailer. It was very evident from the start, things didn't add up with this case. And we were the only journalists harassed by the police under legislation of their COVID laws.
We're on the M6, we're on the way to Barrow. There's been a developing story. A young girl put a statement out on Facebook showing horrific injuries. and said how she's been groomed by gangs of Muslim business owners in the town.
I've just met that man. I feel for him so badly. You can't have false allegations of rape against a man. That would destroy his life. My head's totally fried on this. I don't know what to think. My little legs.
You struggling?
Yeah,
fun party there.
So who decides who journalists are? You?
Well, the register.
No, they're not.
That's what I'm being told.
No, but that's not the law.
I could ask you, is this essential?
What,
for your job?
You?
Yeah, for your job.
Yeah, of course it is.
Okay.
But there's no
crime here. If any other journalist drives up here, are you going to pull them over, ask them who they work for, check with their company, tell them you want to see a pass?
We're stopping a lot of people today. We have been stopping a lot of people.
How many other journalists just stopped today?
You're the first one.
It was a great feeling as well to see a camaraderie, people coming together. The only thing again is the conflicting accounts that I didn't expect to receive since I've been up here. Just shows how much more we've got to find out.
There was obviously a lot more to this story, so I went back and met with members of the Muslim community. I want to say a thank you to them for opening their doors to me. Some of the men were the men who were alleged to have trafficked Ellie Williams. But some of the members of the Muslim community gave me information on actual paedophiles who had been operating in Barrow. They've since been convicted for their heinous crimes.
First of all, I'm Tommy Robinson.
Yeah.
You're a Muslim business owner.
Yes, I am.
You've agreed to meet with me.
Yes.
So I can ask you some questions.
Of course.
Can I ask, with developments in your town?
Yes.
I've just come to your shop.
Yeah.
And we couldn't come in the front entrance?
No, you couldn't. I've had to board it up.
Why have you had to board it up?
Due to the level of threats that we were receiving, due to all this that's come out on social media, I couldn't take any risk.
And what's come out on social media from Ellie Williams?
Yes.
Did you know Ellie Williams?
No, I did not. But I want the answers as well as more than anyone else, to be honest, because at the end of the day, it's tied my business into this and myself. So I want to get to the bottom of this, and I want to know the truth.
How has your life been ruined? What's changed for you?
Well, what's changed?
How long have
me?
You had this business?
We've had this business. Well, Mithal has been running what 25, 30, between 20, I think about 27 years in this town. My parents first came here, and they've made it to what it is now. And for it to see. For people who I've known all my life just to like look at me twice and think, is this person responsible for this? It's hurting, really. It is hurting.
No one has mentioned you personally.
Yeah.
Involved in this. So how is it that your business? How is it you see that yourself has become in the middle of this?
Well, because I'm the face. Me and my brother are the face of Mithali.
Yeah.
And they associate Mithali with me or my brother,
okay,
basically, and that's how I've become at the forefront. But the thing is, we're an organisation. We employed 15 people at one point.
Okay.
At the moment, we can't because due to everything that's going on.
You've been forthcoming.
Yeah. I've been open and honest. I've got nothing to hide.
No.
Honestly.
And do you know what? Do you feel like you've faced trial by public opinion? Do you feel like you've already been? Do you feel like you've been you personally?
Well, I would feel. I've been convicted of a crime that I genuinely haven't committed.
Of the worst possible.
Yeah, it's horrible. I've got children on my own.
Mm.
You know, it's absolutely horrible. I've been receiving death threats over the phone. The calls that we've been receiving here, it's just absolutely disgusting what people are saying. I can even show you what people are saying.
No, see, my take on this is that this is to, well, you're in this position.
Yeah.
And if you're an innocent man, then and facing trial by public opinion is so wrong.
Can you see, for us to contact you it's...
That must be a big thing for you. This must have been a...
I'll be honest, when you first contacted me, I was... You remember what I said?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so I was completely struck. I was just like, wow. And for me to bring you here, it must speak volumes. Come on.
It would have been easy for me to come up here.
Yeah.
And if it was the story was there that I thought it was, I'd be going full guns 100 miles an hour into justice for Ellie. But I'd say more this is about justice for Barrow, if you're an innocent business owner in Barrow.
Cheers. No problem.
We went to meet some of the men who were suspects in these crimes. The first of which was Mo Rami. Mo Rami has a past. He's a colourful character, to say the least. But we were there to determine the facts around the allegations of child trafficking that were against him, of which there was no evidence.
Can we get just 30 minutes? I want to go find Ronnie and ask him a couple of questions. And then I want to film what they're doing. Yeah. And as soon as that's done, can I come back? Yeah. And I want to film to say, I've just been up there. There's fucking 2,000 cars.
Yeah.
You're one of the men behind the scenes. I promise you, yeah? My hand on heart, I will not use anything or publicise anything that will risk that trial. Nothing. I don't want to risk the trial. I want to be... It, when the truth comes out, my update won't be anything near like what it was going to be if this is going away. It's just going to be, listen, I've been in Barrow. Yeah. I'm telling you, I'm meeting people.
Yeah.
You're going to have to wait for this to come out in court. I'll ask my solicitor what I can say, but I won't have to say much for everyone to know it's bullshit.
That's good.
I won't have much to... No. That's not bullshit that she hasn't been abused. It's not bullshit that she hasn't been a victim.
Yeah.
But your men's lives are being destroyed at the same time here, and they have been for many years.
Yeah.
And no one else's lives can be destroyed off trial by public opinion.
Yeah.
Which is currently what you're at.
Yeah.
And that ends part two. Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, your views, sir.
Yeah. well, as I said, it's interesting, actually, that the Muslims had contacted Tommy, which is coming out there. And I think they just wanted to shut, because Tommy's a proper journalist. He's going to look into both sides. Yeah, as you said, if it was there was grooming going on, he would go at 100 miles an hour, and that's what he said. But this is totally different, and this is the reason why it's frustrating for him, because he's feeling, you know, what it's like for some of these guys that's been involved innocently, you know, businesses, you know, that'd be boarded up, and you can see, as I said, by public opinion. You know, no case yet has been proved. Well, it has. I mean, I think she's got accused of being a liar, which was is the way that's proceeded. But it's the lives of people, innocent people, that have been affected seriously. And as I say, the more I'm listening to this, like anybody else that's listening in, listen to it maybe a couple of times, because then I'm like yourself. I'm hearing this for the first time, like you are, and I'm just observing and making comments the way that I can see what's going to. But I've got to say that Tommy is doing a fantastic job. This is totally different to what Tommy normally does. As you know, he'll go at it like a bull in a china shop. But this is totally different. Taking a different path, so let's just see how this unfolds, because I'm really interested in the way this is unfolding. And as I say, this is great journalism by Tommy, very much so. So kudos so far what I've heard and observed, very interesting. Show the opposite side of the coin to what we normally proceed with things like it's just different from this whole case. But with that, Dave, let me pass it back to you, because I've still got my mind is still in observing mode. I'm still taking in, digesting what I've heard and heard so far. So with that, let me pass it back to you, Dave.
All right, thank you, Jeff. And you may want to go ahead and call back in. It's past your time. I make my observations here. Now, guys, part of the problem here, part of the reason why some of this occurred is because the government in the UK has not properly addressed the issue of these Mohammedan child sex trafficking gangs. That just has to be said. And that's where the public anger comes from. It comes not only from people directing their anger at the accused, but also at the UK government, who have put political correctness above the protection of young women and men in the United Kingdom, children, basically. So that's where part of that comes from. But getting back to this, yes, as you can see, these false accusations come out. It's like throwing a rock into a pond, into a very calm pond. You know, just these ripples go out, and they touch not only this young man's life, but his family's life, his mom's life, his grandmother's life, the lives of the people running that business. All of that occurred, and and if you look at the English Fence League radio show, if you look at our show page at blogtalkradio.com, you'll see a picture of the young woman and the injuries that she sustained in one of these attacks. Now, she accused seven men, but so it shows that the injuries were real enough, but the accusations, as it has come out, are false. I have my own theory as to whom the police should be taking a stronger look at and asking why they haven't in the past 3 years, but let that go now. And Jeff, do you have any more comments, or is there anything out of the chat before we begin part three here, buddy?
Yeah, there's one comment that Northwest Media's made. Just a little snippet. It says, was Trump's U.S. ambassador lobbying for Tommy Robinson? I can't really answer that. I don't know whether, Dave, you'd like to answer what Duck's put in there. He's got a question mark, so he's just asking a question. So let me repeat that again. Was Trump's U.S. ambassador lobbying for Tommy Robinson? To be honest, I don't know, Duck. I really don't know. Possible, but I can't really say, because unless I've got the facts in front of me, I don't want to comment one way or the other. Dave might know something about it. So, Dave, let me pass it back to you. Have you heard about this, Dave? Anything?
No, I have not, Jeff. And that might require more research. Duck, you might want to look around and maybe, yeah, Breitbart, some other news organizations, and you know, do a little bit of searching with DuckDuckGo, you know, and that sort of thing to get your question answered there. But this time, right now, we're concentrating on this documentary, and we're going to go ahead, and I'm going to go ahead and play part three of this. This is another 15-minute segment, guys. This, by the way, as a reminder, is the Phantom Rape Gang, the latest documentary from Tommy Robinson, and you're listening to it on the English Defense League radio show. We begin part three.
We weren't the only people finding holes and questions within the story. Even the guy who set up the fundraiser for Ellie Williams then set up a contract to protect the money that had been donated.
Just to establish, you're the guy that set up the fundraiser for the Justice for Ellie campaign?
Yeah, that's me.
Raising how much?
It was 22 grand on the page, and then when it got passed over to me, because Just Giving through a little deduction, it's like processing cost, was 21,211p, yeah.
Your accent, you're not from Barrow?
No.
So, where are you from?
I'm Essex.
So how did you, in the Justice for Ellie campaign, it was a local Barrow?
I've raised money for like a lot of people across the country, like loads of different areas. But I was, one of my mate Lucy shared the post,
yep.
So I see it then, and then somebody tagged me in it about 20 minutes after that. So then reading the post, I don't know, it was a bit heartbreaking. You see a girl that looks vulnerable, looks like she had been beaten.
Yep.
It looked like she'd been groomed. She had text messages to back it up as well, which was allegedly from the grooming gang.
Yep.
So I approached the family, her brother, and just said, like, this is what I do, do you want some help? And they come back and said yes.
At which stage did you start to question the story?
Well, I believe they're all the way through.
Yep.
2020 was when I set up the page. May, I think it was. No, April, May. Met the family in July. Put a contract in place. And it was, I put a contract in place. I still believed her. But there was a couple of people messaging me saying she's made it up. They were clear, like, fake profiles. Like, two or three friends on their friend list. And profile picture of, like, a road sign. So that,
okay.
I can't take that as believable.
Yep.
But there was just that bit in me that was saying, right, let's protect everyone that donated, like, protect everyone, put a contract in place, which yep. stated that out of 21,200, they could use £1,200 for Ellie to get counselling or therapy, they called it. But the 20 grand could only be used against bringing a private prosecution against the grooming gang, because they said, you know, there's a lot of police corruption, that's what they were telling me, and they will take their own private prosecution.
And we spoke before the trial. You'd seen yeah. something I said.
Yeah.
And that's when you got in contact.
So this is where it changed. Yeah. Somebody sent me something, again, it was a fake profile, but it was actually a transcript from the court.
Yeah.
I knew she was in court. I knew she'd been guilty of perverting the course of justice, but that was explained to me that she was guilty for a very different reason, because of she lied about her whereabouts because of the grooming gang forced her to.
Yeah.
But it was around the 18th, 19th of December, I changed my mind. Somebody sent me something from the fake profile, and it was evidence of like transcripts of court, and it was to do with the hammer,
okay.
where she'd been seen in Tesco's buying this hammer, and then the hammer would be found near the scene where she was found. So then I read a lot more. I was reading it, like obsessing over it for days, and it come out other evidence about it wasn't just a hammer, the fake Snapchat accounts,
yep.
the fake Facebook profiles were all set up from her Wi-Fi.
Her phone.
Yeah, it all come from herself. Ibiza, she had come out, and when the police said about checking flight records, she said that Ibiza was a liar. Her sister stood up in court almost against her, just saying that she didn't leave her side in Amsterdam. And then there was the thing with the Blackpool Hotel.
Yep.
She'd been seen on CCTV. She says she was groomed that night and raped, but footage showed that she was in the hotel all night, and apparently she just left to get a pot noodle and then went back to the hotel. So there was like, it wasn't just one thing, it was many. Then I changed my mind.
Let me ask you, you raised money, where's the money?
With Ellie's mum.
How long has it been with Ellie's mum?
Since about two months after I set up the page.
Can I ask about Maggie Oliver?
Yeah.
What's your, I've seen Maggie Oliver's name a lot in this campaign as well.
Yeah.
What's your involvement been with her?
I've never met her. I heard at the time.
In your contract, was it that some of the money goes to her?
Yeah, the first I heard of Maggie Oliver, that she was supporting the family. I don't know how true that is, but that's what I was told. She was supporting the family. She's recently said in an interview that she wasn't. It was just, I don't know what it was. It was small contact. But she was one of the charities that were chosen in the contract. The family chose the two charities they would go to.
Okay, so the family chose charities. One of them was Maggie Oliver, £10,000?
Yep, and £10,000 to Women's Community Matters in Barrow.
Women's Community Matters in Barrow, and is there any link with that? And
well, yeah, it's come out that Ellie's nan is a trustee of the charity, which caused a bit of grief.
Did they tell you that her family were linked with the charity when it was chosen on the...
I asked a question about her mum, and I was told it was she was like in the background. She'd done like volunteering or whatnot, but I never knew, and I wasn't told that she was a trustee, no, because that... I've even asked that recently, and I was told that she's not on the board of trustees, but then somebody sent me the company's house
okay.
transcripts, and she is, she's a trustee, yeah.
So she hasn't been, they haven't been honest with you about that either?
No.
All of this accumulated in the need for me to speak to Ellie's family. The fact that they hadn't been honest with the public from the start. I confronted her stepfather, Ronnie, to put these allegations to him and to request that he be honest with the public, as so much tension was building locally against what we now know to be innocent men.
Is it Ronnie? Ronnie, how are you?
Can't keep 2 metres away.
Yeah, sorry. Ronnie, you know everything that's going on?
2 metres.
Okay, you know everything that's going on?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
How come the public haven't been told about the previous allegations?
No comment.
No comment. Don't you think if there's a campaign that people should know the facts? Say if you speak to your wife and if she doesn't want... I promise I will not come and talk about this case again. Will people be honest with the public about what Ellie is facing charges for?
We can't speak to you about our life here. Because that puts us in the temple court.
About Ellie's case?
About Ellie's case.
You can?
I can't.
But what I mean is, so there's a campaign...
We've spoken to our barrister and our QC, and
from the start of this campaign, the public have not been made aware of the men who have been falsely accused of raping Ellie.
Well, we don't know what men it is, do we?
I do. I spoke to four of them. I spoke to a kid at school who was accused of raping her at school.
you what, sorry?
I spoke to a kid who was accused during school
of
raping Ellie.
Right.
So I spoke to him. I spoke to multiple, but what I mean is none of these people know that.
Yeah.
They probably should.
Yeah.
It is probably quite pivotal to what's gone on. And that's not to say, she needs justice for whoever's caused those injuries to her.
That's right.
But if there's been four men that have been lied about.
Four men?
Five.
Like I said, I can't discuss that with you.
Do you believe Ellie was raped by Jordan Chengrove? Do you believe she was? Do you believe she was? You cannot.
Who's Jordan Chengrove?
Come on, man.
Who's Jordan Chengrove?
You don't know who he is?
No.
If you really don't know who he is, I can give you an entire case to read where he was three times he was accused of raping her.
Was he?
Yeah, he was in prison for 3 months. He was in prison for 3 months.
Can't help you with that, I'm afraid.
He tried to kill himself a few months ago. Yeah.
That's a shame.
I don't know the reasons why she's previously blamed other men. I don't know. But I think that people should be made aware.
Well, I don't know either, so I can't.
Did you not know about that?
No, sorry.
You didn't. Did you not have any prior knowledge to these accusations?
Ellie's over 18 years old, and it was her wish that her parents, us, weren't told the details.
So you don't know the details of this?
So a lot of the stuff that is coming out now, we have only just found out ourselves, and that's in the past 3 weeks.
So do you... Okay. Do you still believe...
I believe Ellie. She's my stepdaughter. I've been with her for 17 years. She's never lied to me before. I believe Ellie.
Did she work at the Elephant?
No comment. Ellie is in prison.
Yeah.
On remand for her own safety.
Is that what they've said, for her own safety? See, because that's not, I don't think that's true.
Police officer Cummings.
Yeah.
Spoke to me on the phone 10 days ago.
Yep.
And told me that the police asked the court to hold Ellie for her own protection.
Okay.
I believe Ellie. We as a family all believe Ellie.
But I believe they'll absolutely crucify her and discredit her, and they're going to turn this whole thing. This is what I think they're going
to
do.
We know the police are trying to discredit with Ellie's.
And if they do that, this is going to affect grooming victims across the whole country being believed, which is my concern massively is.
Most revealing is what Ronnie could remember, dependent on if he thought the camera was recording or not.
My main thing here is that there are so many contradictions.
Take the camera off.
Turn the camera off then. There are so many contradictions that it's so fucking damaging. Do the window up, bud. There's so many contradictions that I think will be so damaging to what I'd say is our cause of getting justice for grooming victims. I've read, when Ellie's asked how she gets her bruising from a friend at work, she said, my stepdad, Ronnie. I've read that in black and white. That's in a statement.
Says, sorry to say that, I guess.
So, Ellie has told her friend that her bruising has come from you.
Ah, right. Ah, right.
Really? In black and white. I've read it.
Right. I've never been questioned in anything.
Yep.
Right? So, would you not think that if Ellie had accused me of doing those bruises, that the police would have at least come out?
She hasn't accused you to, she's told her friend. I've read her friend's thing.
Ellie, but somebody who's abused would tell lies to cover up the real story of what has actually happened. And she would look for anybody to blame, whether that be I've walked into a cupboard, walked into a door, I fell over.
Yeah.
After Ronnie's done it. Ben phoned me last year.
Ben.
Brother.
Yeah.
Phoned me last year and said there to me, what's going on at home? And I said, what do you mean, Ben? Well, Ellie's turned up the work with a black eye. Ellie's turned up the work with a black eye. And she's telling everybody that that you done it.
Yeah, that's you.
And I said, no, I didn't do it. I said, now speak to your mum. I said, why would I do it? I said, I'm not like that. I said, why would I do it? So Ellie's told some untruths to cover up what is actually happening to her.
Yeah.
And that.
What she told? When you say she got a black eye.
Get your four.
Yeah. Sounds fine. Yeah. No worries. You're right.
She's a massive fan.
Did you know if she worked at the Elephant?
No, she didn't.
She didn't?
No.
She's never worked there?
No, she hasn't.
Did she work at the Elephant?
No comment.
No. See, as I said...
Why do you ask me that, though?
Because I've heard she worked at the Elephant, which makes sense as to where she met Mo Ramey.
No. Rubbish.
No.
No.
I think she did that, I think.
Ellie's first job...
Yeah.
Ellie's first job would be at the railway. I do know John Tengrove, actually.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you believe Ellie was raped by Jordan Tengrove? Do you believe she was? Do you believe she was? You cannot.
Who's Jordan Tengrove?
Come on, man.
Who's Jordan Tengrove?
You don't know who he is?
No.
Yeah.
So I do.
You know Jordan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not personally.
Do you know of the story?
I know of him.
Do you know of the story?
Yeah, because it was in the newspaper last year.
So what do you think of that? If he didn't rape her, yeah? If he didn't, yeah? Then how dangerous is this?
Did you know his girlfriend was arrested today? In charge?
Yeah, for naming Ellie.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what Ellie said. Ellie said he's the man.
But I don't know.
I'm telling you 100%. I'm telling you her statement says that Mo Ramey is groomed her since age of 13. He took her to 10 cities. He's not raped her, but he drops her off and traffics her to parties. Mo Ramey. So you know Mo Ramey. Do you think that's true?
I've only ever once spoken to Mo Ramey.
Oh, okay. Because you know, because say for example, this is the thing. Say like Jordan Tengrove's life's been destroyed. His life's been destroyed. Yeah? Another boy's life's been destroyed.
Yep.
Now, if it's a lie, yeah?
Yeah.
But if it's been proven a lie, that's why they're prosecuting her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they have evidence it's a lie, yeah? Against Jordan. Now, maybe she's under duress to say it was Jordan. Maybe she's lied and blamed it on Jordan because she doesn't want to reveal who's abused her. What? Maybe, yeah? But that's the same possibility that maybe Mo Ramey hasn't fucking done it.
Or maybe it did happen, and the word that we have heard is that Jordan Tengrove's mum threatened to kill Ellie.
No, I've gone through all the court papers and I've read it all, but I'm telling you, I've read it. It was not kicked out because of that. It's not kicked out because Ellie didn't turn up. It was kicked out of court because of no evidence. Zero evidence.
Yeah.
It was kicked out of court. And not just because of zero evidence, but because there was actually evidence that says it was fabricated.
And that ends part three. Welcome back to the English Spence Lake Radio Show with the host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, your views.
There's more than meets the eye in this case. That's why I'm looking at it. Who did batter her? Where did those terrible bruises on her body come from? Someone's done it. It's got to be, you know, justice has got to be seen. And the people that's been accused are not, well, I feel for them. There's so much to be uncovered here. Just a shame that the police can't do their jobs properly and get to that what is actually happening. Because, you know, this is the first time I've observed what I've been listening to. And there's a lot of what's been said that makes me look and, you know, that vibe goes up my back. Something's not right here. I mean, that girl was battered. Someone's battered her. Or a number of people, whatever. That is what you got to get to, is that. And this is what we're seeing unfolding. At the same time, there's a lot of contradictions. I don't know, maybe it's stress-related. Whatever you might call it, there's something not right about what's happening here. But don't forget, it's my first observation. So give me time. And I'm sure I'll be looking at this. I'm going to listen to this very carefully. And, you know, my observations might be a little bit different the next time that we, you know, maybe next Sunday after we've done this show. I've got a chance to listen to more, and I will observe it, not as a live thing, but trying to, you know, check it out myself and to make my observations there, and then I can make my conclusions, what I find, maybe next week, because it's still new to me, it's still fresh, you know, so just with that, Dave, let me pass it back to you, because I think that's it. This is all fresh going on my first time I've heard it, so I'm looking in, you know, well, this is something that stands out about this that makes me question what's going on straight away. But let me pass it back to you, Dave.
Right, Jeff, and it definitely has an iceberg feel to it. Yeah, there's more than is just showing above the surface here. Now, we've got two pictures at the EDL radio show page, this particular show page at blogtalkradio.com. And the first one is of Tommy Robinson talking to that fundraiser. I want to get back to that part of it. My question about this individual is, what does he get out of raising money for all of these causes? Who is he associated with? What direct benefit does he get from doing this? Because this wasn't just one thing that he set up this fundraiser for and collected for and that sort of thing. There is a little bit of suspicion, and I would very much like to know what other quote-unquote causes or other things that he has raised money for. Does he do this just out of the goodness of his heart? Because doing these things requires time. And that's what makes me wonder. Is he maybe getting a bit of money out of doing the whole thing himself? We don't know. Now, as to the other one, the other picture that I'm going to describe, the other picture is the picture of Ellie's stepfather. And if you look at that picture, and if you look at the documentary itself, the video documentary, this is not a small dude. Okay, this is a big guy. He stands, it looks to me as if he stands like a head taller than Tommy Robinson. All right, so this isn't some small guy like myself or like Jeff. Now, the contradictions that he put out when the camera was turned on versus when the camera was turned off really set up red flags for me. And it makes me wonder if this isn't a situation, as Tommy Robinson pointed out, where he was the one that did the abusing of Ellie and terrified her into making these accusations towards these young men, with the understanding that this guy might have that people would naturally think that she was being sexually trafficked by Muslims. Could he be at the heart of it all? And if so, the question also comes up, because this began 3 years ago, the question also comes up, why haven't the police taken a stronger look at him? Could we be seeing the results of a little bit of bribery here? Also, I want to know if this PC Cummings, this police officer named Cummings, I swear, Jeff, that I have heard that name before in connection with investigations or non-investigations or whatever you want to call it of these Mohammedan child sex trafficking gangs. I just get that sense that I've heard that name before, PC Cummings. Now, that may or may not be true, but the rest of it, yes, as Jeff put it, there is more than meets the eye when it comes to this case. Someone abused and very likely raped this young woman. But who did it? I think the jury is still out. Jeff, I think what we ought to do...
Go ahead, man. I'm sorry about it. Yeah, I was going to say, Dave, what you said is my alarm bell was ringing when I was listening to her stepfather, a big guy. And it did seem that he was trying to cover his tracks. And you know, you get that, there's a smell about it. You feel, this ain't not right about this guy. And that started as it went further along. I think, and hang on, he's not a stupid man. And then, you know what I start thinking of? The way that a psychopath works, how their mind works. Did you get that impression, Dave? This is like the mind of a psychopath. But, you know, they can come over as people, but they've got really dark agenda. But I might be totally wrong. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I'm just observing. I'm making my comments. So, you know, it's just pure speculation. But I think I would agree with Dave. I mean, we do tend to look at things and observe them and make comments and exactly what Dave said. But my alarm, as Dave was talking and the other guy was talking, the alarm bells are going on this. As I said, there's something not right about this. So, and it was leading me, and I didn't want to say at that moment, but it was leading me to look at her stepfather. Back to you, Dave.
Right, and as Jeff says, we have absolutely no proof that this individual is responsible. However, it is a fact, and psychologists have said this, it is a fact that when someone is abused in the home, it can turn into almost a brainwashing situation where the person being abused, it actually looks upon their abuser as almost a god. In other words, they are the givers of pain and in-home justice as they see it. So these abused individuals tend to get into a state of almost mental slavery to their abusers. Now, this is real, and psychologists have acknowledged that this happens in abusive relationships in the home. I may well send the link to the documentary to John Euler, who has a program on TECN.TV, and get his analysis on this, because this this is very fascinating. And yeah, as I say, we have no proof. We have zero proof. All we have is impressions, Jeff and I. I have impressions from having grown up in an abusive home. Jeff has impressions because he's been around the block a few times. Guys, we're going to play the next half of this documentary next week, and you guys can draw your own conclusions. But this is definitely not the norm for the kind of documentary that Tommy Robinson puts out. And it is, as Jeff has said, a great work of journalism. Jeff, before I play us out, do the finals and play us out. do you have any more comments, or is there anything out of the chat, buddy?
No, nothing in the chat. I'm sure that they're engrossed in what we're listening to ourselves, Dave. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I've still got my questions there. I'm still observing. And, you know, I'm coming to some sort of conclusion in my mind, but I might be totally wrong. So I'm not going to say too much. I just want to get a bit more firm feeling and then maybe comment a little bit later. With that, Dave, let me pass it back to you. It's unbelievable, this show tonight. I'm so glad that we got this right, because Dave gave me a call because I didn't even know I was in the wrong day. I was in Monday, and Dave said, no, we're doing a show tonight. I was just it was so strange, surreal, I think the word is, isn't it, Dave? But let me pass it back to you, bud, because this has been one hell of a show at this moment in time. Back to you, bud.
Thank you, Jeff. And yeah, you're right. Thanks to Tommy Robinson and his hard work over the past 3 years, mind you. This has been a very fascinating program, and it's going to continue next Sunday. So look for that, guys, at 8:30 p.m. in the U.K. and 3:30 p.m. Eastern in the United States here at blogtalkradio.com and also reflected at the TECN.TV radio page. It's been a heck of a show, and I hope that everybody will give the Exceptional Conservative Show, also available on TECN.TV, a listen. Next Friday morning at around 2 a.m. In the U.K. and after 9 p.m. Eastern on Thursday night in the United States. And if it's a bit too early or too late for you, you can catch it on Ken McClinton's Rumble page. We've got the links to all that in our show page here. TECN.TV is a place to go. And Ken and I do a little segment on Thursday nights here in the United States. So check that out. And again, thank you to Biggie and Duck Northwest Media for showing up in the chat. Really appreciate you guys. Jeff, fantastic job as usual. I really love springing these things on Jeff. Just not springing them on. He knew what we had a long discussion, guys. We had a long discussion about whether or not to even bring this because we know what the naysayers are gonna do. They're gonna come out and say, "See, none of this was real in the first place. You can't believe any of these sex trafficking gang victims and survivors. You can't believe them." That's bull. But we had to put this out because it's the truth, and you're always going to get the truth here. All right? So, Jeff,
the truth will always surpass whatever they try to cover. That's what we're here for. And sometimes the truth can be very painful, but the truth is the truth. So no matter what happens, is we will always continue to portray the truth, whatever we say or do on these shows. That's what it's about for you, the great listeners out there, to get the right information. No, we're not the mainstream media. We are who we are, okay? And we are for the public. And, you know, the freedom of what's going on, you know, across the world, we stand up for human rights. That's something we've done for many, many years, myself and Dave and the team. So with that, Dave, let me pass it back to you. Great show this evening, buddy. God bless you. Cheers for that.
Well, God bless you, man. And hey, the jam is up on the jam is up on the stage. They're ready to go. So I just want to say to everyone, you know, be prosperous, be blessed, and hey, don't surrender ever. Take it away, boys. Good night, Jeff. Good night, everybody. People might say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy I can see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your boys again. And I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money and of course there's a mine. My new deal of sense was for Tommy Swine. And the public gets what the public wants. Pleasure as a hate me, I've done enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging green and black. 3 years for what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your leader, and don't waste your trust. And the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up. Shout, fight, fight, we go down the road.
Well, thanks a lot, guys, and we will see you again next week. I just want to say before I wind up the show and sign us off, Bigfoot says, thanks, Jeff and Agador. Good night, everyone. And thank you for joining us. Also, from Duck Northwest Media, has given us a thumbs up. Much thanks and appreciation to all for the program. A great way to start off the week. It's appreciated, mate. Thank you very much for the comment there. And so Biggie. So with that, I'm just going to say thanks a lot for joining us this evening. And there's much more. We will do the continuation, part two, what you would call it, next week, because there's a lot more involved in this case, as you probably understand, ladies and gentlemen. So we will bring it to you next week. So all I've got to say is I've got to thank Dave. Kudos to Dave today for the slides, the script. Everything, Dave. Thanks, buddy. You're a great pal. And I will speak to you soon, Dave. Probably tomorrow sometime. Okay, mate? Anyway, with that, this is the English Defence League radio show. We're signing off for tonight. But you know what, guys? We'll see you again next Sunday. Okay, you take care. You stay safe. And not forgetting, no surrender ever. Good night, guys. God bless.